guys, this is Austin.
And John.
And welcome to another episode of the Meatgistics podcast. Today is going to be an interesting episode because before we started, I asked John what we're doing and he said, we're winging it.
Oh, we're unprepared. There are too many things going on here right now for us to be able to spend a lot of time preparing for the podcast. But the nice thing is we do have world famous Bigfoot enthusiast Austin Walton with us here today.
Yep.
He's going to run us through all the times he's been in the Pacific Northwest tracking down some Sasquatch.
Yeah, I'll post all the pictures on Meatgistics and hopefully that'll be enough to get us to go viral. And
well, you're growing this big shaggy beard. You've now got a hunter's safety orange hat from Walton's and you're wearing the orange shirt. So it's like I don't know who you are. A totally new person has come down and your drink is orange.
Well, yeah, I'm on Team Orange.
Yeah, but so. I think maybe you're taking it a little too far then.
No, too far would be if I had put like some of that like self-tanning cream and bronzer on and turned myself orange that way.
You went Trump orange?
Yeah.
A Walton's tattoo. Has that ever been discussed?
No.
No.
We changed the logo look too often.
That is totally fair. Absolutely fair. So first thing I want to do is I've got some meat up here. This is from a local guy. He's got a label on it, but I don't believe he's a commercial. It's just Paul and Del Fisher. So Paul, I know you listen sometimes. We are going to try your goose salami again because I've already tried it. and some what I'm assuming is like a smoked boudin. Well, it is a smoked boudin. So why don't we try this goose salami first?
To start off, I mean, it looks really good. Particle definition's awesome.
Yeah, he does really nice thing with his fat where I think he grinds it just once through a somewhat larger plate. And I've always really liked salamis with whole peppercorns in it.
Yeah, that's, in my opinion, like a staple and trademark deal to salami. Mm.
And that's just, I mean, that is top-notch stuff.
It's very good. I love it. It has a huge kick of like tang to it that I love.
So this is the same guy who did the Willies with pickled jalapenos, mustard seed, and a bunch of other ingredients that forced us to do this Willies with garlic. We did a bunch of different tests on it. We were trying to figure out if it was best to add, if you wanted a garlic snack steak, if you wanted to add roasted garlic or garlic powder or start with the garlic and pepper, we found the best thing to do is the Willie's snack stick with roasted garlic. So we roasted the garlic first and then ground it or added it in. What we should have done was added it as we were grinding. We didn't do that.
Yeah,
should have done that. But we also did a mimic of his snack stick, his Willie's snack stick, with the jalapeno. The most important thing I can tell you with that is if you're doing anything pickled, if you're adding anything pickled to a cured sausage, let it sit out on an elevated rack, like a wire mesh rack for a couple of hours first to try and get a lot of that to dehydrate up off. You don't want to put it in there because that vinegar solution is going to short your emulsion. You can end up with like some uncured spots around where those pieces of the pickled jalapenos are.
Yeah.
So definitely a problem, but that is excellent.
It's very good.
Really, really good. I told Austin before we started, I'm like, hey, you better try one right now because I can't be held responsible if I eat all of them. What are you looking at?
Just looking at the particle definition again. Lots of black pepper in it.
Mm, which is...
Can't get over the black pepper.
No, it's excellent. All right, so let's move on to this smoked boudin. Now, the smoked boudin's real soft.
Yeah. I think that's kind of expected on boudin.
Well,
somewhat softer.
Mm-hmm.
How soft? I don't know. To each his own.
Right.
Anytime I have a sausage that is soft, it kind of scares me at the beginning.
Okay.
Because I always think of a sausage as like, first thing is like a German sausage, like old school, something that's going to be smoked and cured, and it's definitely going to be hard, have a nice snap to it. This, not going to have much of a snap to it.
However, as you can see through by how quickly I'm eating through the rest of the sausage, this is very good. Really, really well done. This, in my opinion, is about as good as you can make products from a home processor standpoint without like commercial equipment, this is about as good as you can do. This, both of these are just excellent.
I don't even know how to describe the Boudin. It's amazing, but it's just so different. I'm just not used to Boudin. Mm-hmm.
Nope, not this is absolutely top notch. I see some green peppers. I see some red peppers. I want to say that that is spinach, but I don't can't tell for sure. It's got a really soft texture to it. The fat appears at least to have been ground up a lot finer.
I assume that some of those particles are rice.
Some of them, yeah. But yeah, no, this is absolutely phenomenal too. So Paul, excellent job.
Yeah, definitely rice.
There isn't a whole lot of people who can come in, hand something off to Colton, and then he gives it to me and I am excited to try it. I mean, for the most part, I'll try anything unless I look at something. I'm like, that doesn't look right. But when he dropped these off, I put them in the fridge right away. And I was like, hold till a podcast day, because this is a great thing to talk about. I know the first time I met him, I just happened to be walking through the store up front, our retail store. And he asked a question about sous vide something. And I'm not kidding you. We sat there for an hour and 15 minutes. I know you'll love hearing that while he picked my brain. And, you know, it's not that I don't like talking to people, because I do, but that's not what I'm paid to do, to be out there and talk to people. So there were a couple times in the conversation where I'm like, I should try to break this off. But then also, like, I was legitimately enjoying the conversation. I get such a charge anytime I can meet somebody one-on-one and talk about meat processing and like pass along knowledge and see it sink in, like see them understand what I'm talking about. Weirdly enough, I do get goosebumps from it sometimes. I know that sounds super weird, but every once in a while, I'm like, goosebumps from that.
That's creepy.
Obviously, very creepy. But let's talk a little bit about something that's not so meaty, but is kind of meat. Yeah, the tofu. Yeah.
Okay. So, one of the big crazes as of late over the past year or so has been all the alternative meat options. There's a company out there. They go by the Tofurky Company. They're actually called Turtle Island Foods.
Yeah. They've been around for a long time. Since I've known my wife, not the last 2 years, but before that, on Thanksgiving, she would always get a tofurky turkey roll. So that's what this is. But
so in Missouri, about 3 years ago now, they passed a law that banned companies from, quote, misrepresenting a product as meat that is not derived from harvested production livestock or poultry. So it makes it actually a crime to misrepresent how you're labeling a product, which kind of makes sense in my opinion, because the USDA has so many requirements on how you can label this, how you have to label that to be able to call something ham. Mm. I mean, it actually has to be ham, and you can only have so much percentage of a brine solution injected into it. And then after a certain point, you have to call it ham with natural juices, and then you have to call it a ham product,
right? Yep.
And then
depending on how much water you've added,
ham with water added, mm-hmm, up to a point. Like, there's all these different classifications, and so it's already, all these requirements are kind of already in there in the meat industry from the USDA. So Missouri came out and said, okay, well, we're gonna apply some rules to these people that are making meat alternatives, because it honestly does seem a little deceptive at times.
I don't know. I think the general person that's, because those are always in one section in the grocery store, I feel like the person that goes to that section is already aware that that is not a true meat product. Like, they're looking for it specifically because it's made to taste like meat, but is not meat, which just proves that meat is the best.
I might get some hate from people about this, but I think you're giving way too much credit to the average consumer for people to know the difference there. I mean, do a lot of people know the difference? Yes. There's a lot of people out there that they don't. I mean, you're talking.
Okay.
Maybe people in Kansas, maybe people in our kind of world that's so, typically smaller areas, more usually more rural. But if you went into a grocery store in California and somewhere along the coast in the Bay Area, how many people are going to know the difference in something?
More than would in Kansas. Yeah, they're way more in tune with that world of meat. You know, like the fake meat stuff. Like that's on their radar all the time. They serve it in restaurants. If there was an argument, I would say here, maybe some people might be confused. But like out in California and New York, like they're aware that tofurkey is tofu turkey.
Well, tofurkey, okay. I mean, I've recognized that one, but there's a couple in here that caught my eye.
Go ahead.
Instead of spelling chicken, C-H-I-C-K-E-N, mm-hmm. they spell chicken C-H-I-C-K apostrophe N.
Yeah, that's definitely deceptive.
That's what I'm looking at. Like the tofurkey part, I mean, it sounds like tofu, turkey, tofurkey, but it's some of the other names that they've come up with.
Are there other ones?
I mean, the company out there called Beyond Meat or Beyond Beef.
Beyond Beef.
When they're using the names in their brand, which kind of makes sense, but kind of doesn't, because you do want to point people to what it's a substitute for.
Yeah.
I mean, that does make sense. If someone wants beef and they want to make hamburgers, I mean, they need to know, hey, which meat alternative should I get?
Right.
But on the other hand, using the name of it in there when it is not that, I do kind of have a problem with, just because you can't do that in the meat industry on anything else. But just because they're not the meat industry, then they don't have to play by some of the same rules.
Well, it's because most of the people making laws are wanting to push that. They want people to eat less meat, eat more tofu, whatever. But if I'm hearing you right, I'm hearing you say it is wrong to try to trick a consumer when they think they're getting a meat product into eating a non-meat product.
Yeah.
Okay. Then how do you explain what you did to me in an earlier episode of this where you told me that it was meat and there were two patties, Beyond Beef and whatever other one you took? Explain yourself, sir.
I wasn't selling you a product. You're an employee.
So it was a punishment?
And with that, there's certain things I don't feel bad about, that being one of them. Now, but no, if I was buying a product, that's different.
I 100% agree. I was just doing a bit there.
Razzing me like I was razzing you.
I can't stop eating this, as you are watching. I just, every time I get it, as soon as you start talking, I eat more. The reason that all of those things are made to taste like beef or chicken or whatever, like we don't make a steak that tastes like a tomato, you know, or steak that tastes like. So in my mind, that's just more proof that beef is better.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to imitate it. So right.
But I don't know. So a couple of things I've been doing recently, a ton of, is cast iron cooking on my sear box outside. And I've been making like all forms of these shrimp scampies, whatever. The other day I nailed it. Like it perfect. One of the best things I've ever eaten, let alone made. I took raw shrimp. I had to shell them because I'm not going to pay somebody else to shell them for me. fake imitation crab meat, you know the stuff I'm talking about?
Yeah.
A quarter, more close to a half, a stick of butter.
Oh, yeah.
That goes in the pan. I chop up a bunch of garlic, throw that in there, saute it real quick. Then I add chopped up bacon, like fresh uncooked bacon, not pre-cooked. Chop that up. I throw that in there. I throw the shrimp. I throw the imitation crab meat, capers, and then I add some cooking wine and some rice wine vinegar and just let it cook down a little bit. Oh my God. It's unreal. I've had it
That'll be good.
Four nights in a row.
Are you serious?
Four nights in a row. I can't
Did you
stop.
Make enough for leftovers or no, are you just I've making
new
the same
one every
thing?
Night? So the first two nights I did make enough for leftovers and I ate those during lunch.
Perfect.
So just, it's been nonstop fish. I can't stop. It's amazing. The Excalibur's butter garlic rub is like, put it over a little bit of rice and sprinkle just a little bit of that on it. Even better.
One of my favorite like seasonings with butter, I think, is what I'm about to say. But it's something we used on one of our old Willet barbecues. I think we did butter with signature pork.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing.
So we did that twice. We did it when we did snails and octopus. Yeah, both of those were the butter dips we were doing. That were so good.
Yeah. That was the only way I got through those.
Did you have any of the lobster we brought in that one time?
No.
You were gone. I think you were gone.
Yeah.
My neighbor, I live next to these incredibly sweet people, and they don't have tons of tools and they're not all that handy. So I help them out whenever they need anything. And they were having lobsters flown in from Maine. And so they're like, John, we brought you two lobsters. I'm like, oh, all right. That's amazing. So I brought them in here. Patrick, had you ever had lobster before? Like, yeah. So we were doing dips like that. It's so good. I'd be hard pressed. Like, lobster might be my single favorite one meal. Like, you can, you know, I wouldn't want to eat it every night, but like a one-time thing. Yes. I absolutely love lobster. If you gave me lobster versus, well, definitely I'd rather have lobster than like a filet. The only thing that would go up against that is like a real nice, thick, dry aged ribeye.
Yeah.
That would go up against it.
So is if you're going to do lobster or something, is it better to go out and eat out somewhere or just cook something at home?
I mean, it's almost always better to cook at home, in my opinion. Almost always. The only advantage to going out is the atmosphere, the ambiance, and, you know, getting to sit around a table while people wait on you. In my mind, at least. I know there are tons of people that don't cook much, and a meal out is probably going to be better than it. Patrick's raising his hand. Probably going to be better than anything they're able to make, but I don't know. I'm a decent cook, so.
I may have to try that sometime because I'm good with meat things, and technically it's kind of meat. Yeah. Some people would classify it not as meat, but it's still meat.
Yeah, it's still a fish. And I know we've brought this up before. In fact, maybe not on our podcast. In like France or England, one of those European countries, they used to feed prisoners lobsters, and they considered it like a trash food.
What?
Uh-huh.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah, they used to call them... I can't remember what it is. Something like roach, sea roaches or something like that. But yeah, imagine that. Oh, no, don't throw me back in jail. Be a shame if I had some butter sauce. That would really make this terrible. That's another weird thing. Like, I've been thinking a lot recently about what conveniences I could easily and not easily live without. And one of the big things that I really would struggle with is like food variety, like the ability to go to the store and just pick out anything you want. That is really new phenomenon. Like even back in the 70s and 80s, when strawberries were out of season, you weren't getting any strawberries for 4 or 5 months. Now we have everything so manufactured that anything you want at any time, you can always get it.
That's interesting because I'm the exact opposite, and I would rather just almost have the same thing all the time. So I just knew, hey, this is what's for dinner.
So how often do you eat the same meal?
Anymore, not as much because my wife does pretty much all the cooking.
Okay. And she wants to try different things.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I enjoy it. I do. Sure. But at the same time, like when my wife asks me what I want for dinner, like, she's learned to just not ask the question near as much. Yeah.
So what is it? If she's asking you, what is it that you want to make?
Well, I'm going to say pizza.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's an excellent choice.
I've ventured out and I don't just eat Totino's now though.
Oh.
Like we will, like at Trader Joe's, you can get like a pizza dough for like $1.29. So we do a lot of that where we just make our own real quick. Maybe another pre-made crust or maybe, Red Baron or Totino's.
Red Baron.
Red Baron has good pizza.
Totino's, you're cheating on them.
Yeah, I know. But right. But if it was just me, before my wife, I had a freezer full of Totino's, and that's what I ate every night for dinner.
Are you
I'd throw on some chicken or beef or something.
On top of the pizza. Yeah. Are you familiar with the saying, eat like a dog?
No.
So there are a bunch of, I don't even know what you want to call them, fitness experts, or they're really just fitness personalities who recommend eating like a dog. And that means same thing all the time, every day. Your body gets used to breaking it down, knows what to expect. It's how you can best utilize all the nutrition in it. And back when you were doing that, I mean, you were probably 40 pounds lighter.
No, I was more than 40 pounds lighter.
So, I mean, there is something to it. When I, when I'm at my absolute best is protein shake at breakfast, if that, then eggs and fake fish at lunch, you know, some snacks and a steak for dinner. Like, that is the perfect amount of protein, the perfect everything for me. When I get in trouble is when people start filling their candy dishes up front. Because as soon as it starts, literally as soon as it starts, all I have to have is one piece of candy to make me ravenous for candy for 4 months. And then it's just like a constant fight against it. I hate it. We were talking about this with, was it you with the candida? No. So there's a, I don't even know if it's a bacteria. There's something that lives in your stomach, that can live in your stomach. It's called candida. And a lot of people have like a massive overgrowth of it. And that is when you feed it sugar, that is what's making you crave sugar like crazy.
Just, really?
Yeah. So I think, and please, nobody just take my word on this. Like, you gotta look this up. But I think a way to test if you have it or not. You wake up in the morning, you have, you know, you don't have to have it sitting overnight. Pour yourself a glass of water. And before you drink anything, like, spit into it. If it's bubbly on the top and has like stringies parts like running down into the water, I believe that's a sign of having it. And it is a super bad thing for you. Like, it's really, my wife fought tooth and nail. Like, she was this, she was doing everything she could to get rid of hers. It took her like 3 months.
So she had it?
Yeah.
I'm going to try that and see if that works, because I got on, I was never a sweets person, mm-hmm. and I have been on the sweets train hard.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And my son, try to make this long story really short. My son has a peanut allergy. And so trying to get him to go through and go through immunotherapy and get rid of that, he started in really, really small doses, but working up to eating peanuts all the time. And so we got to the point where he didn't want to eat them. So we would crush them up and put them in ice cream. And then we got to the point where we were like, hey, let's give him an ice cream cone. And then at that point, then it was all downhill for dad. And so that was like a couple months ago. And we have gone through, I don't know how many gallons of chocolate ice cream. I have woken up twice in the past 2 weeks and been like sleep eating chocolate ice cream. Okay. My wife didn't even know I got up and got it one time. I came back in bed and I'm just sitting there eating ice cream, and she thought it was some other noise. She all of a sudden reaches over and she's like, what are you doing? Then she's like, I want some.
So you were fully awake. This isn't like you were sleepwalking and eating. You were fully awake and conscious of the fact that you were eating ice cream.
Yeah. One of the times I got like an ice cream bar or sandwich, got back to bed. Don't remember going to get it or picking it out. I just remember being back in bed and going, this is the best ice cream I've ever had.
But I can't describe how amazing it would be to wake up with an ice cream sandwich in your hand. Because then you have literally no choice but to eat it. You don't have anywhere to put it.
It's going
to
melt.
Going to have to eat it.
Yeah.
But, God, I love ice cream sandwiches.
But I've never been that crazy about sweets. But lately, last couple months, I just have to have sweets. It's just nonstop. So glass of water, spit in it, see what happens.
Do some research on it first, because with me, often it's the exact opposite of what I think it is. Like, that is how you know you don't have it. That's definitely possible as well. All right. So if you're, I don't know how to, when you were living by yourself, was there any like one weird meal that you liked making that other people would like frown upon? Like, ugh, you're eating that?
Oh, I mean, when I lived by myself, I didn't make a lot of things.
Okay.
It was more just combinations of things.
Okay.
Like, get some like spicy nacho, or there's a purple bag of Doritos. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You get
sweet
those.
Sweet chili.
Yeah, sweet chili. And you get one of those containers of cottage cheese, and you just,
oh my God, that sounds so terrible.
You eat chips until you eat the whole container of cottage cheese, and then you're done with your meal. It's like the perfect amount.
So hold on a second. I hate cottage cheese. So that doesn't sound appealing at all. But what I can relate to that is Lay's has those cheese dips, and they have one that's a jalapeno and it comes in the can with a peel it off. Those and Cool Ranch Doritos is like my favorite combo. When I used to work at a beverage center, you know, we'd order subs and stuff all the time. And there was a place that made amazing wings, O'Leary's, but I would eat that for lunch like half the time. Just grab a bag of Doritos, pop that, and then just start eating it. Mine would be, I used to call it white trash pasta. So it's penne. It's just got to be penne because you kind of have some class. And you just cook that, put it in a bowl, take, depending on how much you make at a time, it might be a half a stick of butter. It might be a whole stick of butter. Put that in there. Take Frank's Red Hot. Ooh. Pour that all in there. Mix that all up. Wait till the butter melts, like fully melted. Take a ton of Parmesan cheese. Put it on there. And oh my God, my wife goes out of town and make that like that night. That's the first thing. I'm like, all right, it is white trash pasta. Then it's pizza.
That's awesome.
Love that. It is so good.
I've done that without the Frank's Red Hot. Pasta, butter, Parmesan. Butter
noodles. Yeah.
But it's never done it with the hot sauce.
Yeah, definitely. I'll try that. With that. A butter sauce, it's basically a scampi. I mean, basically. Those are delicious. Or it's add a little bit of wine like I'm doing with my fish, and it's a chicken French, just without the chicken.
Interesting.
So if you did find a Sasquatch, the real question is, would you eat them?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I probably would if I had pork fat on hand.
That's a fair
point. You can add pork fat to any type of wild game and make it taste good.
I wonder if, like, he would be some sort of ape, right? Like a great ape, or at least that's the theory.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's too close. Like, you know, you're not supposed to be a cannibal because there's something with prions. That's what caused mad cow. So you think it's fine?
No, I think it's fine.
So if we catch a Bigfoot, we have to eat a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down for that. All right. So some new things on the website. First, before we do it, I know what your answer is going to be. Do we have any update on when the new website's coming?
Not exactly. Let me check my email and no.
Okay.
Just so, double checking. We're still waiting on payment stuff like before. Yep. And
we've got everything else ready. However it will probably go. If we find out like on a Thursday that we're ready, we'll wait till Tuesday, right? I would imagine.
Yeah. We won't
do it
even
going into a week.
Even if we find out on Tuesday we're ready to go, we won't just go, let's go live. We will wait a few days.
Sure.
Just so that everyone here is on board. Because honestly, I haven't even been able to let accounting and customer service fully see things. Because I can't really until the full order process can go through. Otherwise, it's going to end up double training people on some stuff.
But you could send them to that, right? And just let them at least look around, see what it's
like. Well, yeah, the front end, right. But they need to know the back end.
Yeah, that's a good point. But when it does go live, when we do determine it will go live, we are still planning on doing a live stream so that you and I can accept all the accolades of people just crying about how amazing it is.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear anything else. All right. But one of the things that we just started talking about that we want to do, and this is something that has come up many times from our customers, and it's a kit. It's a sausage making kit. It's a jerky kit, something like that. We've always pushed back on this because we've kind of tried it in the past. But the big problem always was that we would have to create a new SKU for that. And then have specific inventory only for that SKU. There's no good way to do it. Plus, my pushback on it is I always think kind of what people like about Walton's is they can, so many options. Like they can customize their order to no end. So we think we've got a way to kind of get around that. So we would have like a sausage making kit that will be its own product page. What you then will do is it will have every sausage or every like snack stick seasoning right there. So you will choose your snack stick seasoning in column A. In column B, there will be casings, only the casings that are appropriate for snack sticks. In column C, there will be like cheese. Then next column, additives, like common additives for snack sticks. So we won't put like a bunch of weird things in there. Do you think we should put carrot fiber in there? People love using carrot fiber in their snack sticks.
Yeah, I would. I mean, you can use it. I know some commercial guys have used it.
For snack sticks?
Yeah. Huh. It's just one of those things that it's not the best.
Right.
There's better options.
Are they doing that for allergen reasons? They want probably some sort of binder. Yeah. Because the other two big binders, soy protein and sure gel, both have allergens in them.
Yeah. Plus anything else that's milk-based, because a lot of the things, other people will try some milk-based type of things. But yeah, it's the one thing that is more of a clean label product.
Yeah. But it, that, I think people are really going to like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if that turns into how most people order. Because you won't have to choose from A, B, C, and D, but everything will be on one page for you. And you can just, you want to make snack sticks, you go to that and boom, fill out everything you want on that and you're done.
Yeah.
The one question I have, and it's not, I don't have a good answer to it, is equipment. Like I know there'll be somebody who thinks that they go to that page and they order all that and they'll also get a grinder and a stuffer or something. So I don't know if there's like, we'll put some verbiage on there, I guess, saying you're going to need a stuffer and a grinder. Or do we make that column F?
Honestly, we almost could put a whole workflow in there from A to Z. I mean, even along the way, I mean, to be honest, it's not a bad idea because it would really benefit us because we'd also throw in like boots, gloves, aprons. I mean, not as much for home people, but like hair nets.
Sure.
Anything else you're going to wear while you're processing, meat lugs that you're going to put meat in. I mean, it could be a whole step of, hey, here's the most popular items that people are going to use from A to Z. Mm-hmm. That could get kind of crazy.
That's going to get unwieldy real fast.
But there's probably some options there for us to do something more extensive than just seasoning, cheese, additives.
Yeah.
And casings. But I don't know. We could go real crazy with it. I wouldn't be opposed. That's just on you to get
we can set it up and figure it out. We'll see what it looks like. My initial thought was like drop down boxes, but I don't know. We'll see how we can make it look.
Yeah. So I won't show everyone else this.
Okay,
but
I'm watching.
So I think, I mean, just like I added there, we have two drop downs.
I've done that on a product before. In fact, we're going to have one product that's like that when we go live. I cannot remember for the life of me what that product is, but I set it up like that. Yes, it's meat bags. Because some of them are like, it's either for sale or not for sale and 1,000 or 100. So I did it like that. Are you saying that because you saw it? Or are you just like thinking that's the one that would make the most sense?
I think you and I talked about that one.
Cool.
I think.
Austin is an extremely understanding boss. I, the other day, without him saying anything, told him I was going to do a better job of not just walking into his office all the time to ask questions. So I forget what we have talked about and what we haven't very often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when that goes live, we really are really excited for it, want it to happen. And as a little teaser, I think that's the less impressive of the two projects I'm going to be taking on here. The other one with the...
I don't even remember what the other one is.
We, after an order, something goes to the customer.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
really cool.
I really do think that is the big one.
Not to bust your bubble too much. Some people won't care. Some people are going to be like, okay. Other people are going to like flip out over it and go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I didn't know this was here.
As long as nobody is aggressively against it, I can deal with ambivalence. I deal with it for my wife all the time. I just don't want like, this is terrible.
Yeah. People can unsubscribe to anything that we're doing, or they cannot participate in something, or they can flat out not order from us or not log into Meatgistics. So in my mind, no one's going to care, because if they're already doing one of those things, they know they're going to get things from us, whether it's Meatgistics, Walton's, in some fashion. So we don't go over the top.
I don't think we do at all.
I mean, there's other places out there that I still, for
every
some reason,
day, yeah.
I stay subscribed to. One today, I get a Bed Bath & Beyond text message.
You like to smell nice.
Or not Bed Bath & No, yeah, Bed Bath & Beyond.
No, I'm thinking of that
Bath & Body Works.
Bath & Body Works, yes.
Yeah, so Bed Bath & Beyond, because, I mean, you don't shop there unless you have 30% off.
Yeah. Like,
you can't.
Right.
And so I don't want to unsubscribe from it, because if I need to get something and I got to go there, I can't buy unless I have a coupon.
So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm not the average consumer. I want different things. I shop differently than most people. I have never gotten a text from a company ever.
Seriously?
Flat out never. And I have zero idea how I would react to it or feel about it. That's what makes me just a little bit leery. We are going to start doing some SMS stuff. We use a service that now has that functionality. And I definitely do think people are going further away computers and more centered on their phones.
Yeah.
Lord knows I am. I went from somebody who 5-6 years ago was proud of the fact that I still had a flip phone to Austin has let me try 5 different phones in the last 5 months, something. The final push to getting me this phone I have now, which I absolutely love, probably favorite phone I've ever had, including my iPhone. But for those of you who know Tim Pool, he does a live stream every night. And Austin and I had talked about, hey, why don't we send in a super chat and see if he'll read it? It'll be cheap marketing. So I did. I finally got it to work. My YouTube wasn't letting me do it. I finally got it to work. And two places, I misspelled meat as messed to the point where he goes, maybe he means meat. And or one of the girls on it said, he means meat. He goes, nah, he spelled it messed twice. And then and was SND. So he was like, snid? What is he doing there? I'm like, oh no.
I loved when he read it. Like just, he read it for what it was.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Yep. So obviously that phone had a problem with the S and the A. And it's not the fact that I have fat fingers or anything like that.
You are a sausage maker now. So you pretty much have sausage fingers.
Yeah. But no. I'm hoping that there's a positive response to us doing some SMS text messaging because they are going to be, it's not, you know, we're not going to be like, hey, here's what we're doing today. It'll be like, hey, thanks for your order. Here's a coupon for your next order. Or, you know, please review this for a coupon. It will be things that are going to help them with their, hopefully help them with their next shopping experience.
My biggest thing on the text messages, because I'm an email guy, I tell people they need to email me. I've even a few times talked to my wife and been like, hey, can you email that to me? Just because that's what I'm in front of all day, and I can organize it. I can catalog it. I can file it. And I have a way to keep it in a meaningful way. Yeah. In text messages, there's not. And then every now and then, I mean, your text messages are just going to go away. For whatever reason, you try to copy it over to a new phone, something happens. I've deleted conversations just because my phone opened while it was in my pocket. Yep. And I hit the lucky keystroke. Yes. That deleted a conversation. So it's just a less permanent thing. But the stuff that I've gotten from businesses, I'm okay with it as long as it's stuff that I can either act on it or not act on it. But it doesn't really matter to me if I act on it or not. And I don't need to go back to it if I don't act on it.
This is not clogging up your inbox.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey.
Because I do get enough that my texts, like if I don't respond to someone, it's usually because I've gotten enough texts that I swipe away my notifications.
Yeah.
And then I forget to go back. And when I finally do go back and look at my text messages, there's just a list of them. And there's like 8 of them in there. 3 or 4 from companies, 3 or 4 are one-time security codes that I have to use for logging in with two-factor authentication stuff here. And so I just like start marking red, 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 and then I lose things.
Okay.
So text messages to me are more fleeting than email. But
yeah, that's fair. But then do we run the risk of people just doing exactly that? Like just mark red, mark red.
No, for the average person, more people actually pay attention to texts and respond and engage with them than email. I'm probably the opposite. I'm not your average.
Yeah, consumer, I'm definitely going to respond quicker to a text. My Gmail account has probably hundreds of thousands of unread emails in it. But you know what I don't do? I don't enter giveaways and give them that email address and then never check it like half of our people do. That's one of the things we're going to be working on coming up is some targeted responses to orders, maybe some coupons as well. We're also on the Meatgistics side of things. Do you want to talk about the changes, updates to the app you're thinking about making, or is that not?
Yeah.
Okay.
That reminds me, I had started to make a new project for that, and I don't know where I put it.
It's probably in OneNote somewhere.
I at least got as far as making a new project, which basically your project is your container for all your coding files.
I didn't even understand what you meant.
Yeah, sorry. So
no, it's okay.
So when you start your project, you say, I'm going to write in this code, in this format, and use these libraries, and just kind of get it situated.
Okay.
And then you can start coding.
Okay.
So I at least got that far.
Okay.
But the goal is, I think we're going to, since I haven't even done the iPhone app yet, I think we're just going to skip that and go to an update that comes out for both at the same time.
Yep.
And instead of just going straight to Meetgistics itself, kind of having a separate experience on the app, but still tying it all in with the rest of Meetgistics. Like John and I talked about maybe putting some specific seasoning calculators on there, brine injection calculators, some conversion things. So you could say, I have this seasoning and this much meat, and so it's sweeter than sweet, and I've got a ham I'm going to cure. How much water do I need? How much this do I need?
14 pounds.
Yeah, so it'd walk you through everything you need, which we kind of have some of that out there in Meetgistics and the fact we have the conversion charts.
Right.
But if we did it as more of a calculator inside the app, it would be a lot more user-friendly, I think.
I think so.
But we'd now, probably do that as exclusive to the app for a while. Eventually, it might come out on Meetgistics itself.
It's just easier just to have on the app, I would think. And then that also reopens up one of the things we wanted to do this year was focus some specific coupons just to Meetgistics users and just to the people who have the app. So we'll do some like direct, they're not even emails, I guess they're Meetgistics messages that will only go to the app owners that will be like a coupon, like some flash sale stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's what I really want. I mean, obviously I want people to get a better experience out of Meetgistics with this app, but what I really want to do is be able to text, hey guys, for the next 30 minutes, blah, blah, blah is on sale for blah, blah, blah. You know, just fast, quick little fun games I can play with them, I guess.
Yeah, I forgot about that. On the new website, we're going to be able to control some of that stuff so much better.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if you remember that, but putting like coupons and sales, we can control the date and the time.
So
we can like pre-range, because in the past, like when we do live streams and we're like, oh, this is going to be on sale for 30 minutes.
4 hours then, later.
Yeah, 4 hours later, we're like, oh, we never took that off.
Yeah. Whoops. Speaking of things that we occasionally run out of stock on, I don't believe that any of our products got held up by the ship blocking the Suez Canal.
Yeah.
But that was just a wonderful, fun memes. Like when, as soon as it happened and they had that one little digger out there trying to, I mean, it was just absolutely hilarious. What could be interesting though, so they say, you know, that slowed down global shipping so much. One of the things that we always complain about is we can track, well, you and your father can track, ships, our container ships as they come into port, and they'll make it relatively quick across, and then they'll sit in the port, not at the dock, but in the port for like 8 days. And it drives absolutely nuts. So if nothing's coming in, that may give them a chance to catch up on some of that. Maybe.
I doubt it.
I'm trying to look for a positive in it.
No, there's
trying to look for a positive.
The whole rest of this year is just going to keep getting worse. I don't think it's going to get any better. Maybe not worse. Look a little positively. It's not going to get worse, but it's not going to get better. Because we're supposed to be in the slow shipping season now.
Yeah.
Wait till this next year's peak. Oh. It's going to be nuts.
So you're basically saying buy more guns, ammo, and SureCure. Because it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I the other day, my lower for my AR came in.
Nice.
So it will be a slow build. Basically, I'll be building it around, like I'll buy enough pieces to annoy my wife to a certain point, and then I'll wait, and then buy more pieces. So it's just going to be like slow increasing.
Well, if you're just buying the pieces and parts, I mean, you ought to be able to just buy them all and then just bring like one piece home a day. So she never sees you walk in with the whole thing, build it in the basement somewhere.
It's not bad.
And then just It's
no,
there.
Really what it is, I, when that's built, I'm going to need a gun safe. And I, for some reason, I'm really adverse to having a gun safe. I have no idea why. It's just, it's extremely heavy thing that I don't want
to
move.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't have to have a gun safe. Well,
you know, you get the trigger locks, but
my biggest
deal is I don't want either
like,
one of my kids going in there and getting a hold of the gun. Get their little paws in there, threaten people for treats. I'm talking about my dogs, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Never mind. I won't state any further opinion. I don't think you have to have one, but it's probably still a good idea, but to each their own.
So speaking of dogs, through Walton Zink's YouTube thing, we did that whole, I pushed a GoFundMe for a dog named Nasir, who I have a kind of a connection with, love that dog. And he had to have his entire leg cut, amputated, and now he has to go through chemo as well. Right after that happened, my dog started limping, and my wife freaked out.
Like, oh yeah,
you just see it. She's like, "It's same thing. It's cancer." Because that's what happened when Siri started limping. And luckily, it turns out that no, our 200-pound dog just has arthritis in both his knees already. Not bad, but has arthritis in both his knees and tore his ACL. So fun times ahead for me. Trying to keep a 200-pound dog, not immobile, but you can't let them really play for like 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Should be good.
Your dogs are just insane. Like, I thought my dog was tough to deal with at times, but I still have challenges. I guess I have two dogs now, but you always have a new story that I'm just like, what?
Yeah. Well, I have one that's enormous. And up until this is a puppy. So he's like extremely active, always wants to play. And the other one who's still pretty big and has severe anxiety problems, like severe. And we've talked about this a little bit because I started giving him those chews. It's like an all natural chew that has like L-tryptophan and a couple other things in it. And he still freaks out when I leave, but it's a different type of freak out. I can't explain it. Like it is It starts my day off really bad when as soon as I get out of bed, he's right at my knee looking up at me, panting, freaking out. He does not do that anymore. Like the other day, he laid in bed and just watched me get ready all day. And then as I'm going to leave, he still came over and looked at me. Like he wasn't panting or anything, but he looked at me like, I'm going to eat some stuff while you're gone. But it just makes it easier for me to leave the house if he's not panicking as I'm walking out the door.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how my dogs came up, but
wait,
I don't know how my dogs came up. This conversation.
I probably just don't remember.
Did I talk about them all the time?
Maybe. I don't remember. You and I, when we get talking, we can get off on some weird stuff at times.
Yeah, but that's...
I find it entertaining.
Mm, so I like it.
If everyone else does or doesn't, we're probably still going to do it. So
so either enjoy or don't. Yeah, we've gotten like no emails to podcast@waltonzinc.com in the last, I don't even know how long.
We haven't been saying it on the podcast,
right,
though.
So if you guys have topics or anything you want us to talk about, things you don't want us to talk about, or things you don't want Austin to wear in the future.
Also wearing orange underwear today. Oh, if anyone wants to see. No,
nobody
I'm
wants to
I'm
see
kidding.
That. Go ahead and email us at podcast@waltonzinc.com. For a while there, that kind of got a little out of control. And there were a bunch of things we hadn't responded to in a long time, but we've cleaned that up. So we're checking it. Weekly now, I would say. Definitely not daily. Oh, daily? No. All right. Patrick's checking it daily. I want to talk about that hat.
My beautiful hat.
Your beautiful Hunter Safety Orange plus Walton's Orange Cryptech hat.
I should say it's your hat because you're the one that actually went through and did everything for it. So.
Fair enough. So it's a Cryptech pattern for anyone who's not watching or you're listening. It is Hunter Safety Orange Cryptech. It's a material that's supposed to keep you, I think, 5 degrees cooler. It has Walton's on the front. It's got the Meatgistix leather patch on the back. And across the Velcro, it says nothing. Interesting.
Did I get a bad one? Or is this a pre-production or a sample? Or
no, that is. I never checked that. That was supposed to say Waltons.com. All right, so I'll figure out why that's not on the Velcro. It definitely was part of the plan. Might have just forgotten it. He's so good. He might have sent me an email saying, hey, it wasn't on this run, but it'll be on the next ones. I don't know.
Or maybe I got the one hat that doesn't have it.
No, I checked that one. It doesn't have it either.
No.
We had to
okay.
break there for a second for the camera, and I ran out and checked.
I didn't even see you do it, so it must have been real fast. Like, I honestly was not paying attention to that at all.
I think it has more to do with that than any speed that I had. So we've got a lot of things coming. We've got a couple of, like, one of our guests coming up specifically is not someone who I think would normally fit into what we're trying to do, but it's tangentially fits in, and I'm really interested in looking. It's somebody who has spent their most of their career working for, like, farmers ag credits. So, and he's a big landowner, like a deep understanding of the whole farming economy, which before I moved to Kansas I never thought about at all. And now I think about almost every time I drive by any field. Like, I wonder how much they get for that entire field. What is the square footage actually worth versus, because around Wichita, these small family farms have been selling off their land for the last 15, 20 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, this area of town that we're, well, that I live in is, and that you live in, was straight farms, and that was it, like 10, 15 years ago. And now there's houses going up everywhere.
Even like just before I would have been born, like Rock, even like just what direction is that, west of Rock Road mm-hmm. to east was all fields, like towny, small, all the stuff. My dad loves to tell that story, like, oh, I remember when this was just a field and I did whatever. And he worked for a farmer for a while when he was in and just out of high school. And he was like, yeah, I used to run a tractor up this road down here and was working on this field, and now it's like buildings and all this stuff, and it's like
major streets.
Yeah, I did.
You realize you made it sound like your father was in and out of high school, right? Like, he got kicked out sometimes and came back in.
Yeah, not what I meant. he got through high school just fine. He worked while he was in high school. When he graduated,
yes. One other thing, this will be out after we've started our April sales and giveaway, but we are doing an awesome sales and giveaway this month. We're doing something similar to what we did last month with an option, but your option is going to be a Camp Chef Vertical XL smoker or the 24-inch Woodwind pellet grill combo. I mean, I've almost talked too much about how much I love my Woodwind. I cook on it almost every night. I mean, I go and use my side sear box and my cast iron to make those, like, scampi, seafood French, whatever it is. So I'm an enormous fanboy about that. That vertical smoker did an unreal job on the pork butt. And the wings were just absolutely top notch.
Yeah, those wings were very good.
So I'm in love. I talked to the, what's his name? Paul from, Flavor Crisp, the chicken on the run guy again today. He happened to send something to me and I responded. I'm like, hey, we used your stuff yet again to awesome results. So that stuff is phenomenal. I haven't really followed up with how much we've been selling. I know Tex loves it. He talks about it all the time. But yeah, that's just an awesome breading.
I love it. I am still sad that Excalibur had a breading that we bought like a 50-pound box of, and we ran out. And once we got the chicken on the run stuff, I am no longer near as sad. It's great. Because I've tried to make my own before and it never works. I suck at stuff like
it's hard.
But
yeah, breading's not an easy one. Mm-hmm. What's the stuff that Allie used to always talk about? Butter toppings?
Oh, butterflakes.
Butterflakes.
Butter flavored sprinkles.
There you go.
I think it's butter flavored sprinkles.
Okay.
That stuff is delicious.
So they don't make it anymore?
I don't know. But if we got it, I mean, we'd have to buy a large quantity. You can probably look it up on their biz site.
Okay. Shaker or like bulk?
We were getting them in shakers. Now you'd have to get, you could get them in shakers still.
Super expensive.
Shakers or bulk. You're going to have to buy a certain number of pounds of it. And then from there you could put it in shakers if you wanted,
and just have them.
I mean, you're going to be talking, I don't even know how many shakers, cause that stuff is so light that, it would be, a large quantity of shakers.
Okay,
but that's the way to do it, though.
They charge by the pound, though, I imagine, right?
Well, yeah, but that cost is going to change if it's in a shaker because they're paying for the bottle and stuff. Like, we pay a different price per pound for Ultimate Steak and Roast Rub when it's in a shaker versus when it's in a 5-pound bag versus when it's in a 50-pound box.
Okay. It makes sense. It's kind of like dimensional weight. Just yeah. Because it's light, you're still going to get charged more because it's so big. All right. You got anything else?
I do not.
I do not. I think for winging it, I think that went pretty good.
I think it was a good episode.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, you guys let us know. Like John said before, send us an email at podcast@waltonsinc.com and always hit the like button or thumbs up or whatever you can on whatever platform you're listening on.
Yep.
Let us know what you think.
Yep. Leave some reviews.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Walton's, everything but the meat.